hell?
Everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Go!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
I feel like I'm getting ready to putt or something, you know?
It's a big putt. Important.
I gotta like wiggle my butt and stuff.
Yeah, so just prepare to
it'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jarvis with some shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacer fans. You are listening to The Unbeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast, and this is episode 112, coming from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we've got a stat of the week, mailbag questions, and everyone's favorite, the fantasy update. Joining me are two of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacer fans? Shout out to the city of Indianapolis. I hope everybody enjoys this Final Four weekend. Congrats to Kentucky, Duke, Michigan State, and my pick to win it all, the Wisconsin Badgers. Go Cheeseheads.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, is our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What a game for Notre Dame. That was crazy. I was in the bar. We had a bachelorette party from Kentucky. In the bar. Thought there was going to be a brawl. There was a lot of tension there at the end of that game. But shout out Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Where are you from?
No, I would. I probably should mention it's my birthday today.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday.
I'm probably going to, after this, pass out from too much alcohol. So, shout out.
To yourself?
Shout world. Out to the ditch that you're going to pass out in.
Articulation is not that important when it's your birthday.
Also, it doesn't matter if you're on a podcast. Just
Nobody cares.
So, when you're a bartender...
Nobody listens to this shit.
When you're a bartender and it's your birthday, do people buy you drinks? Like, you know how sometimes you go to the bar and it's your birthday and the bartender will, like, give you a drink?
Sure. Generally, people don't want to know about you. Okay. They want to tell about themselves, so most people won't find out it's my birthday.
Okay.
The staff will probably do what they can to...
I'm still not past that point yet, you know?
What's that?
Like, wanting to know about you.
It's still early in our relationship.
You're still just wanting to dump your feelings onto him. Yeah,
exactly. Today's just been terrible. Let me tell
you
about it.
I can take whatever you have to give, buddy.
I'm going to give you a stat of the week.
Hey! I love a stat of the week.
Joey, stat of the week!
This stat of the week was a tip from my dad. Thanks, JJ. The stat is 131 miles. 131 miles from Newark, Delaware to Madison Square Garden. story is, the Minnesota Timberwolves had so many injuries that they could not dress even eight players for the game March 19th against the Knicks.
Well, let me stop you here. I feel like eight is the minimum you have to have.
Yeah, they had seven healthy bodies.
So that's not good.
So they needed a player to not forfeit the game. And unfortunately for the Timberwolves, the New York Knickerbockers D-League team was away. So the closest team is the Delaware 87ers. And Sean Kilpatrick is the guy.
Heck of a name, the 87ers.
Sean Kilpatrick's the name. And just finished practice. Coach says, guess what? You're playing in the Garden. Get in your car and go. So he leaves, heads up there.
He didn't fly? He just didn't take the train? Don't you guys have a train up there?
No. He had to go, man. No time. So he gets up there, plays the game, gets a board, 10 minutes. But he made the 2.5-hour drive in about an hour and 50 minutes, just gunning it to get it there. But he helps the Timberwolves not forfeit the game. They have to give him a 10-day contract. And after the game, leaves, goes straight to the airport with the team, and goes on their road trip. So he did all right, you know.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Just out there doing yeoman's work out in a Newark, Delaware.
And hi.
Gets a shot in the NBA.
I'm in Delaware. Other interesting note, Sean Kilpatrick, first leprechaun American to play in the NBA. So... breaking barriers.
Congrats. Yep. That's right.
While he's breaking speed limits to get to the game.
Yep. But the end of the story is it was a 10-day contract, limited time. The Timberwolves chose not to re-sign him.
Boo.
Yeah.
So, well, probably because they didn't want to pay him for their playoff run. Oh, wait.
I'm sorry. I said the Minnesota Timberwolves.
So it's back to the 87ers for you, huh?
Yep. But he played four games, averaged 5.5 points, and 1.5 rebounds.
Good for him.
Yeah, it's interesting fact. He also was not the stat of the week, but just the interesting fact of the stat of the week is he was also Lance Stephenson's roommate his freshman year. He went to UC.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I thought UC had a strict no leprechaun policy, but apparently not.
That was that's today, not back then.
Okay.
So they're making their leprechaun policy stricter.
Yes, yes. Well, because of him.
Things are going in the wrong direction.
Exactly. I really like this steady arc of progress as opposed to this sort of conservative backlash.
We should probably move to another state.
Wait, Delaware?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi.
Or Ohio, I guess is the issue. There's so many states involved in this.
I'm in Delaware. I was just in Delaware today, actually. I drove through.
How was it?
It was Delaware-esque.
Yeah.
There's a nice bridge, but mostly just nothing.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about our mailbag question, right?
Yeah, I just really need to apologize to our Delaware listeners.
Mm.
What Jason says is not speak for the rest of the Undefeatables.
We know there's more than a bridge.
That's right.
In Delaware.
That's right. I hear it's a beautiful state.
There's probably some roads.
Sure. Lovely people, I'm sure.
Cows, right?
Sunshine.
Yeah.
Grass. It's on the ocean. I have nothing against Delaware.
Hmm.
I've just only driven through it. And it takes about 20 minutes. So.
Yeah. Pretty small. So the mailbag question.
We got a mailbag? Somebody contacted us?
Yes.
It's a freaking minor miracle.
You sound surprised.
I do. I am. We have a listener?
Long time listener, probably
first time,
40th time emailer, chairman of the boards, writes in, what do you think about where ESPN ranked the NBA owners, GMs, and coaches? And what he's referring to is ESPN does this poll of their they call the ESPN forecast panel, which is I don't know,
made up of smart people and bloggers
that know things about things.
Sure.
And they basically had them rank each NBA's owner, coach, and GM. And then they compile all those ratings or rankings. Imagine put them through some algorithm. And then they have overall rankings. So it's no surprise to any of the listeners of this show, the top team that comes out of this ranking list, San Antonio Spurs. And also of no surprise to listeners of the show, the team that came in last, the New York Knickerbockers.
Yeah, there you go.
Bunch of stuff in between. I think we would agree with the top and the bottom of that list. The burning question I know you're all wanting to know is, where do your Indiana Pacers fall on this list? And the answer is 10th. 10th overall. Which sounds great, but last year, the same metric, Pacers fell in 4th place. So they dropped 6 spots in a year, even though this is supposed to be not related to on-court success.
Well, I think it clearly is. I mean, these rankings are driven by on-court success.
That's right.
So, for example, the Golden State Warriors are number 2, and last year they were 10.
That's right.
Did they make a change outside of Mark Jackson? No.
Well, they hired a new coach.
Right. But, yeah, and Steve Kerr has been great. Mark Jackson helped build a defensive identity. Steve Kerr brought in some offensive creativity. Does that push you up 8 spots? I don't know. Like, this is the thing. It's based on court success, even though they say it's not. And we've had a terrible year. We moved from 4 to 10. I'm okay with that. I really am.
Yeah. It's a reflection of the Pacers. The fact that the Pacers are sort of a good franchise. I mean, if you fall in the top 10, that's pretty good.
Sure. You're in the top third of the league.
Right.
That's a good thing.
The other team that falls up, so Atlanta jumps from 17 to 8. And they made, as far as I can tell, 0 changes in there. In fact, their ownership is trying to sell the team. Their GM is embroiled in a controversy. And yet they jump from 17 to 8. Because basically they're kicking everybody's ass on the court this year. So,
well, when they say like that this is not reflected or on the court performance doesn't reflect these rankings, like what else do you gauge this by? Like what are the other metrics?
They do. Obviously, on-court success is the main outcome, right?
Right.
And they even say that that's sort of what they say. How does the team's leadership affect on-court success, right?
Sure.
But the thing that's, like, weird, right, is that so teams like, say, Atlanta, right, had 0 changes in the GM, the owner, or the coach in the past year, but they jumped 9 spots.
So by making 0 changes, that helps right. them, sort of thing. Like, I mean, I wonder if...
I guess. It's a weird...
Yeah.
And the Pacers likewise made 0 changes to the front office.
Right.
We just had our best player get hurt, and somehow our front office now ranks 6 spots worse.
And in fact, had a great off season with getting our bench is better than it was last year. They made a tough decision about giving away Stevenson and bringing in guys like, you know, Rodney Stuckey and CJ Miles. That was a big offseason for us, and it's proved to be successful on some level. I think our second unit is better than it was last year.
That's right.
And we're not getting credit for that.
And many people outside of John Coulson would argue that Frank Vogel is doing a great coaching job this year.
I mean, he's ranked 9 here by whoever these dark, shadowy people are. and I think that's probably fair. I think he's in the top third of coaches in the league. Popovich, Budenholzer, Steve Kerr, Carlisle, Tom Thibodeau, Eric Spoelstra, Doc Rivers, which I think is arguable, and Terry Stotts, also arguable. And then tied with Brad Stevens. I think these are the best coaches in the league. And, you know, along with Jorger, always Jorger. I do love Jorger.
And Steve Clifford, the big red coach. I mean, don't leave him out.
That's right. Yeah.
So you'll notice Jacques Vaughn, not on this list.
He's no longer coaching in the NBA.
I don't understand why that would keep you off a top NBA coaches
list. He should probably be right behind Pop, I would think, based on my metric.
Right.
Sure.
I think the whole thing is bunk. I think we're going to put out our own list with probably 30 to 35 teams on it.
Our favorite coaches. We'll put out our list of our favorite ownerships.
And I think I don't think I've ever told you guys this before, but I'm a big proponent of the Delaware 87ers, and I think they should be in the National Basketball Association.
Just bring them on. Their coach probably is exceptional.
I would think so. I would think so.
So basically what we're saying, Chairman, is that we're fine with where the Pacers are. And it's all based on on-court success. And the Pacers have done poorly this year. But they've ranked everything else sort of, you know, not poorly. If the Pacers were 25 or something like that, maybe I'd get upset. But 10's fine. We're still in the top third of the league, and we're not making the playoffs. So I think that's fair.
So the Bulls were ranked too high, for sure.
Fun fact, the Delaware 87ers, who, by the way, are named after the year in which the Constitution was written, used to be
1787. I was thinking that was
Delaware. Delaware actually the first state to ratify the U.S. Constitution.
It was Delaware.
Delaware.
Yep.
That's what it says on their license plates too.
Way to go, Delaware.
I think.
Wait,
I don't know.
First state to ratify. That's not much of a.
No, they just say the first state.
Okay.
More than you ever did.
Used to be the Utah Flash.
Oh. And they moved out to Delaware.
That's right. In 2013.
I think probably because their nickname was the Utah Flash. I'm assuming it's kind of like the Superhero Flash. Moves really fast, hard to keep, you know, in check.
In the state of Utah.
Yeah,
in the
state. That's right. That's right. But their head coach, yeah. Excellent coach, Rod Baker. Storied career as an assistant coach.
So are you ranking them above the Knicks right now? Is that what you're doing in the...
Funnily enough, I think I would put them above the Knicks. I mean, it's tough to say because they're affiliated with the Jazz, the Celtics, the Hawks. But now they're affiliated with the Sixers. So, I don't know. Do you think they're better than the Sixers front office, who ranks way down the list here?
We're not giving them credit for tanking. Come on, ESPN. They're tanking very successfully. Give them some more credit. Why aren't they 20th. Number one?
They got 20th. They're actually moving up the rankings slowly.
But, I mean, they're doing exactly what their vision is, so why don't we give them credit for that?
Well, we can.
Tied on the core success.
But they said it's not supposed to.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay.
In the undefeated rankings, they'd definitely be number one.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, number
Truest
two.
To their vision.
Next to the Pacers.
Right. Well, Pacers get number zero. There's still 30. There's 30 rankings. Pacers get number zero. Knicks are 29 now, and Delaware is at now number 30.
Okay, gotcha.
Glad we got that figured out.
Yep. What are we going to talk about? Fantasy rankings?
Yeah, I think we've talked enough about real basketball. Let's talk about fake basketball. So as our listeners know, because many of them are participants in these leagues, since we only have about 10 listeners, we have two fantasy basketball leagues that are sponsored by the Undebeatables. Of course, there's the Undebeatables League, which is the premier division of fantasy basketball.
Cream of the crop.
That's right. And then we have our first division, if you'll call that. So the Undebeatables is like the Premier League, and then the Debeatables is like the First Division, if you were to put it akin to English soccer, right?
Okay.
So the Debeatables, the way this works is the leagues are connected. So the top two teams in the Debeatables League will be promoted to the Undebeatables League to play with the big boys, rake in that TV money.
And the bottom two
in the Undebeatables will be relegated to the Debeatables League. Okay, so the Debeatables League, Colton, I'm going to have to ask you what happened this year in the Debeatables League because you participated in that.
Well, yeah, and you don't pay attention to the lower league. Who cares, right?
That's right.
You can't see it on TV.
Like, right, that's true. That is true. It's a good year. It's exciting draft. Everybody got excited about that. We had some controversy about rules. There was sort of some folks got upset. There was a strike in the middle of the season.
Oh, wow. The rules are posted right on the website.
Yeah, I know, but they wanted things changed, and the commissioner decided not to change those things.
And which of the participants is the commissioner?
I would be the commissioner.
Okay.
Yeah. Largely because I couldn't change things, right, because ESPN ultimately has more power than I do. But I must say that it was a fun year. A lot of these folks I work with in the restaurant industry, particularly shout out to Team Holman, who is a bartender of mine at the Pizzology, and Team Elson. I think folks might recognize his name. D. Charles is a longtime listener and contributor to the show. Those two guys won their divisions and secured their spot, at least in not going down to some other regulation league. They're not a bottom two teams, which is good. But then you have to go through the playoffs, right, to get to the Undebeatable League. Team Elson currently still holding on to a lead. Looks like Team Austin's going to lose to Team Kendrick, who might actually get to move up, depending on how these things finish out. I'm really curious about how the other league's doing, because I don't pay attention to that crummy league now that I'm not in it.
First of all, as you conveniently avoided the position of the bartender.
Yes. No, that was totally on purpose, and I'm sorry that you're bringing this up.
Which was 12th out of 12.
Mm.
Although you're beating the 11th place team right now, so that's fun.
That's only because the playoffs. I don't think that matters. I definitely was destroyed, slaughtered during this regular season.
That's right.
The only reason he's 12th is because there's not 14 teams.
No, there were a couple problems. One, I think at this point, well documented controversy about the first overall pick. I received the first overall pick in the lottery as the commissioner. Seems sort of like I'd rigged the league. So I just took a player that maybe shouldn't have gone first to make it better, or accidentally. Kevin Love was the number one pick in my league.
I thought you took Ersan Ilyasova.
No, that would have actually helped me. Also, I had lots of guys that, particularly Derek Rose, who was out for much of the season and is my only point guard. So, yeah, things didn't go that well for me.
That's right. Okay.
Chris Bosh, another guy who I thought was going to be great for me, didn't play. So, anyway, I'm 12. Apparently, out of 24 possible teams, I'm the last.
22. There's only 10 teams in the Undebeatables. But
oh, good.
Another shout-out. My sister finished middle of the pack, Team Triplet there. So she'll be back next year. And hopefully making her way up to the Undebeatables League. The other comment I had is we got to do better with names in this lower division. There's a lot of lazy just put my last name in there, including my sister, who just went with Team Triplet. Come on, guys. Let's get creative. Okay, but up in the Undebeatables division, unfortunately, some teams are going to have to go back down.
This podcast is over.
No, this is the nature of the relegation league.
This is my first time. I don't know. How does it work?
Teams rise, teams fall. And unfortunately, longtime listener, super chef, Connie Lee in the Indianapolis Bananas are getting relegated to the second division along with our favorite host, Joey Gufreda, and the Naptown Midlands.
Oh no, you're coming down to my crummy league, the Debeatables?
Dropping down to the Debeatables league.
I'm going to make a third league for you so I don't have to share.
No, it's not possible. You're stuck with me. You and Connie, we'll have a good time.
I had Hassan Whiteside. What else do you need?
Shout out to Charlie who did get relegated and then jumped right back into the Unbeatable League.
Well done, good Team Elson. Yeah. But come up with a better name than Team Elson. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
But so four teams in the Unbeatables qualified for the playoffs. First seed, the Lobstar, aka Elf Magic, facing off against Goran the Dragon, the aforementioned chairman of the boards. And then an intra Unbeatables podcaster matchup between Harper and myself. And it looks like Chairman is going to advance, and probably Harper, to play for the title. The Undebeated Cup, if you will.
Well, we need to bring the Undebeated Cup back into the fold, I would think.
That's so right.
I'm going to root for Harper in that one.
And shout out to our outgoing Undebeated champions, the Lithuanian Fakaitises, a.k.a. Jay and Claire. We never had them on the pod, and I have firsthand knowledge that they're kind of pissed about that. So we should get them on the pod before we transfer the cup. Maybe I'll do a special interview with them.
Sure.
And ask them what went wrong this year. Why did they not make the playoffs?
Well, let's get the Fakaitises, interview them and talk to them about how, what it's like to come off a championship year. How difficult it is to get the players motivated, to defend the title.
Yep.
Interestingly, there was a poll of the owners of the fantasy teams. And Colson, you still ended up last on that one, too.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not because I don't care. That's what it's.
It's because you don't have time to care?
Well, I'm not going to make excuses.
You don't have time to make excuses.
I'm busy, all right? I'm busy.
Oh, man.
All right, it's that time of the show where we talk about our feature game, the game of the week. And this week, it's a huge one. Pacers, Friday, April 3rd, hosting the Charlotte Hornets. Lance Stephenson in the building. Joey will be excited. Two teams that are currently 31 and 41 battling for the final playoff spot. What are we expecting to see here, guys?
So this is in our house. It is going to be a slugfest. Charlotte is not known for their offensive output. They tend to be a defensive team. I mean, I'm looking for Al Jefferson to do what he does, because that's what he does. Low post, scoring, making it ugly, but also pretty, Gotta love Al. And then I expect Lance to want to make a statement. I think he'll want to drag his team into the playoffs. He's going to want to try to make his mark in the field house. And we've just got to figure out how to stop him. By then, I'm assuming we'll have Paul George to guard him. And we walk away with this victory 95-89.
Okay.
And if we don't win this game, we can pretty much kiss away the playoffs.
Potentially. The good thing going for us is that Charlotte, as of our Sunday recording, is on a 3-7 tear. So they're playing just as bad as the Pacers. Trying to back their way into the playoffs. Yeah, that's right. I'm looking for Paul George to return this game and drop probably, we'll say 31 to 35 points.
I was going to say 13.
He might make eyes at a triple-double. I don't know.
Oh, wow. All right. Sweet. I love this prediction.
Maybe I've had too many beers today.
No, this is good. I'm all in. So is Pacer Nation. We love you, Pacers. Get do this upright. Just win all these games. you know, I was bummed about the recent slide, and I feel like if we can win these games, it's still doable. And so I'm assuming that we've won the last two games and we're going to win these next two. And we're going to vault ourselves into the playoffs.
So do you remember, what year was it, Colson, when the Pacers were coming down the stretch? They needed to win their last five games to do it. And AD, who I believe was your second favorite Pacer of all time, carry them, put them on his back. And carry them to the playoffs. What was that? Was like 95? No.
No, it was, later it was than that? The year that Reggie hurt his eye. no, like he like broke his ocular bone or whatever.
Yeah, he like broke his orbit.
Oh, okay.
No, but I feel like we were the higher seed in that. That was, I think we were 3 and Atlanta was 6 and we lost that series because he had a broken eye socket, so that's a different time. I am thinking of.
Do you
of,
remember what I'm talking about? Though?
Well, no, I don't. But what I do remember is the season that we were under 500, similar to this. We had to win. Maybe this is what you're talking about. We had to win a lot of games down the stretch, and the final game of the season was against Milwaukee, and whoever won that game went to the playoffs, and it went to overtime, and we won that game. That was 2001, I'm guessing, because I lived in New Orleans. So it is doable. And
yeah, that sounds right.
Yep. So I'm guessing 2001. It was post, you know, it was Reggie with a young team around him after everybody kind of had moved on from the finals era.
So let's relive that magic.
Let's do it. Scola, 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 Scola.
You know, we used to be really good at that, and then at some
point... That was
point,
pretty good, though.
No, that was fine. Yeah, that was a good one, but sometime the last...
We're not always great at it.
No.
I think the difficulty is Skype. I think that over Skype, it's just hard to time it.
Yeah. We're actually... You and I were in person today.
That's true. We were on that.
Which I just noticed, but...
So I don't know if that was the year... Okay, the year that I'm thinking of was 2000. No, 01-02.
01-02.
And we won our last five games.
And, we,
and the Milwaukee
game... It was the last
game
against Milwaukee?
No, the Milwaukee game was not the last game. It was
But was it close to the last game? Was it overtime? Game,
and it went to overtime, yes.
Yes! See, look! Hey. My memory is still intact. I have not drank away all of the basketball knowledge.
I didn't think you were going to finish that sentence.
Together, we found it.
That's right.
Oh,
so AD was not involved on that team because he would have been traded away for Bender.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's all good.
You still... Bender did not carry anybody on his back.
No, maybe that was the year that he carried the Toronto to.
That is definitely true. He was on fire when he got to Toronto. It was amazing.
I have definitely drank away lots of memories, and I'm now merging them all together.
Sure, but together we can remember. That's what community is all about.
Is that why you have your friends as a collective?
Sure.
Collective memory.
Communal memory.
Right.
Yeah.
Between that and Google.
Yes.
I don't have to remember anything if my friends and Google remember things.
That's right. That's why they created the internet, because everybody was drinking away their memory. And they were like, you know, we should write this down somewhere and have it accessible. And then Al Gore said, "Internet, make it happen."
He said, "Make it so." You want to get the heck out of here?
Yeah, I gotta go eat a burger with my girl.
Yeah,
which is not a metaphor.
Okay. I thought it was a band you were in.
We were really good.
Yeah, I bet.
Very experimental jazz trio, I think that was.
Burger with my girl. With my
somehow girl. Had four people in it. That was the experiment part.
Okay. Yeah, there was four in the trio.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was the fourth for some reason. I played the triangle.
That's where the inspiration for the multiplex top 25 came from.
I love that LaVoy Allen's already on the list. Yep, you know, there. All the guys, all these really important players that have played for the Pacers forever, you know.
I love that you love that someone's on the list. It's your list. Like, you just make the list.
Well, no, but we listen to the people on this one, you know.
I guess, yeah, you have no control over the 25th spot.
Sure, exactly. We crowdsourced, right. And LaVoy Allen won. And I'm just very – I want to thank Pacer Nation for backing, even if it's just, you know, a knee-jerk reaction to the fact that he played well this week. But I'd still like to thank Pacer Nation for voting on LaVoy Allen.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
He's still – that was the best thing to come out of that, the team-destroying Evan Turner trade.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, yeah, no, there's a lot of terrible things that were connected to that trade, but LaVoy Allen is not one of them. I really do hope that we sign him long-term, that he becomes the guy that will eventually replace David West as West retires and moves on in his life. I think this guy could be a long-term solution to power forward. That's how much I love LaVoy Allen.
Nobody replaces David
West. No, not replace. You know what I'm saying. Look, David West is going to... He said he didn't want to play forever. He's probably only got two more seasons.
He says that, but I think he's going to play forever.
Well, I think he's got two more seasons, and I think he's going to walk away. And then I think after that, LaVoy Allen is...
He's going to sprint away, because he don't stop. Coulson.
Sometimes he's got to get to the turlet.
Oh, man. We should probably go.
Yeah. I can keep doing this all night.
Yeah. Well, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. The website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a website. No, that is the website. There's a contact form that the chairman can reach us at. You can review us on iTunes. Really helps new listeners find us. We've got t-shirts for sale. You can also find on our site. Serenade me.
I would like to, for all the fans that are in Indianapolis, there is going to be a rally on the circle against the RFRA bill.
What date?
On April 13th.
Okay.
At 7 o'clock. I think there's marching beginning at like 5:30, whatever. Show up in the evening at the circle. Support diversity and you know, decency. So, anyway, for our once and always coach, Bobby Sklenard. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
I'm not going to this rally if you're going to sing.
Don't discriminate, Joey.
We shall overcome.
I'm a hater.
We shall overcome. I don't know. What do you want me to sing at the rally?
I don't know. I don't want you to
sing. No, I'll sing whatever you want me to.
Yeah, I know.
Just pick me a song. I'll sing it at the rally.
Play the quiet game?
Oh, yeah. Actually, Burger with the Girl, look for their new album. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
What's the title?